The following message is brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
Sisters, I bring to you a message of joy. The joy of the Lord. This is Advent, the third Sunday. And as we think about preparing for our King to return back to us, Pastor King has laid out the format for the last two Sundays that we have already worshiped our birth of our King. It is now we're going to focus on the second coming of the King. And believe me, he is coming back. So we need to be prepared for when he comes back. The third Sunday is Gaudete. In Latin, that means rejoice. It is referred to also as the Rose Sunday. The color of the candles for this particular Advent Sunday is a rose color, a pink color. And it stands amongst the two other candles, which are purple, which symbolizes royalty and kingdom, hope and love. But we're going to talk about today, rejoice. The second coming of the King. Waiting in joyous anticipation for the coming of the King. As we begin in the first verse, Philippians 4:11, I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. So we're talking about our servant Paul. I'm just going to pause for a moment and just give you some background about Paul. So Paul was a well-educated man. Paul was a Pharisee starting out. And it's interesting because God can use anybody. So when God used Paul, he chose somebody that we can look to. Even though he was not a believer of Christianity from the beginning, he knew the word. He went and he spoke the word, but he also condemned, persecuted, killed Christians. He did not believe in Christianity at that particular time. But God can use anybody. Upon his travels to Damascus, the Lord put a stop to that. It was time for Paul to start believing in the Messiah. So upon a blinding of a shining light, he then became visible to understand who God, Jesus, is. So from then on, he became a servant of the Lord. He wrote most of the New Testament. And this is one of the books that he wrote, Philippians. So he says again in 4:11, I am not saying this because I am in need. This is Paul. For I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. Contentment. What is contentment? So I went to the dictionary to find out what is actually contentment. In the secular dictionary, we have contentment, the state of being contented, satisfaction, ease of mind. But I need to go a little further. I need to know what the Lord said about contentment. So Holman Bible Dictionary, contentment. An internal satisfaction, which does not demand changes in external circumstances. So in other words, if there is a circumstance in your life, regardless of what it is, if you are in need or if you have plenty, the circumstance is not going to change you. You will still have contentment in Jesus. Paul was referring back to the Philippian church. They have been supporting him during his time of talking about Jesus Christ. Paul went through some tragedies in his life as he talked about Jesus, as all of us can attest. When you have a witness for Christ, it's not going to always be easy. Paul lived that type of life. Paul is responding in a letter to the church to Philippi. Paul had been put in prison. And he was writing to thank the church for their gifts to support him. Paul expressed how he rejoiced in the Lord greatly. In Philippians verse 4:10, even in prison, Paul rejoiced in the Lord. How often we complain of our small problems, inconveniences, issues, because we determine our contentment based on our circumstances, the secular definition. Paul said in verse 11, I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. Paul looked over his life experiences and realized that he focused on God's faithfulness and preparing him for contentment. Paul had experienced being without money and resources while in prison, and he had experienced to abound, which is having plenty, not wanting to have to want for anything, just as he was blessed by the Church of Philippians for their own generosity. Let's look at Philippians 4:14 through 16. Verse 14, yet it was good of you to share in my troubles.
That's right.
Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. There's always going to be somebody that's going to have your back. Verse 16, for even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. So we just want to thank the people that's given to the need. Paul recognized the church of Philippi was supporting him. They actually felt bad that they lost track of him during the 2 years he was in prison. You see, he was in prison in Jerusalem. He was going around speaking the gospel of the Lord. And when he was going around speaking the gospel of the Lord, he also was converting Gentiles. So as he went around, he also collected money for the cause. When he came back to Jerusalem, he was turning that money in. But since he was also converting Gentiles, he had Gentiles with him. Well, he took the Gentiles into the temple. And apparently that was a no-no. So he was in prison for bringing Gentiles into the temple. As we look at verse 4:12, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret, my God. I have learned the secret of being content in every situation. Whether well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Number one, living in need. Living in need. We all have had those times in which we have lived in need. I'm going to just make it real right now. We have times in which we are living in need right now. This is the Christmas season. I know we have many parents out there trying to figure out, how am I going to make a beautiful Christmas for my children? Living in need. Having plenty, being abound. Paul had said that I have learned through life's experiences. So when I've had many, such as when the Philippian church gave to me in my time of need, I was not in want anymore. There have been times when we can say, thank you, Lord, for that Christmas bonus. Now I can take care of my children. Thank you, Lord, for that promotion. Thank you, Lord, for that new home. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me just to have enough to pay Macy's, JCPenney's, and Kohl's. Thank you, Father. Paul continued to say, I know how it is to be in need. Verse 12, such as when you don't know how you're going to pay tuition, pay the hospital bills, buy groceries, even Pastor, I'm going to say it, pay your tithes.
That's right.
You see, Paul knew the secret of being content in all situations. Do we know the secret of being content in all situations? As we look at the text, going to Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. 4:5, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. I said that he's coming back again. The Lord is near. Are you prepared? 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. 4:7, in the peace of God transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
When we talk about that, Paul made that conscious decision. I'm going to be in content. No matter what I'm going through, how I'm going through it, when I'm going through it, how long it's going to happen, I am going to be content because I know the secret. Making a deliberate decision to be content in every situation. Making a deliberate situation to be grounded in the power of Christ, no matter what may come our way. Stay grounded, my brothers and sisters, in Jesus. That is the secret.
That's right. That's right.
Debt, troubled kids, a shaky marriage, unreasonable and abusive bosses, being hungry, being thirsty, homelessness, raises, promotions, awards, homes. It does not matter the circumstances. If you are grounded in Jesus, you will have contentment. Be anxious for nothing. Trust God to see you through it all. On purpose, trust him, who will give you peace. Peace will be the contentment, whatever the circumstances. Have peace in Jesus. No matter what happens, Jesus will be there. My husband and I talked about that contentment. And I asked him, I just wanted to make sure that I was on the right track. Am I hearing from the Lord in the right way? And he explained it to me this way. It's so good to have that covered in your house. He explained it to me this way. So I am right here with Jesus. Jesus is my rock. Jesus is my anchor. So when I move over here and I am in need, I'm not going to bow down and fall down because I'm staying right here with Jesus. When I see that I'm going to be going on the uprise and things are going wonderful and I have plenty, I am in abound, I'm not going to get so boastful and get out of my head because I'm going to stay right here with Jesus. I'm going to be grounded with the Lord. I'm not going to let anything move me, whether I am in need or I am abound. I'm going to stay right here with Jesus. If I have a witness in here today, I need you to tell me we're going to stay grounded right here with Jesus. No matter what the circumstances are, we're going to stay grounded right here with Jesus. Jesus is our contentment. Jesus is our peace. Jesus is our joy. Let me hear you say, thank you, Lord. I am full today. I am joyful today. And when I look at my favorite verse, Paul knew that contentment was so important that it kept him grounded. So with that, he came up with verse 4:13. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. He didn't say a few things. He didn't say a couple of things. He said, I can do all this through him who strengthens me. The secret, who is him? That's Jesus Christ. Paul talks about being content in whatever circumstances he is in. Yes, Paul's attitude, oh my goodness. Paul's attitude. Because sometimes we have some jacked up attitudes. We got attitudes, and I have to do it. My millennials, I love you so much. I'm going to say it again. I love you so much. But sometimes our millennials think that the world owes them everything. And I'm not going to blame them, because the parents, we gave them everything. As we talk about Christmas coming, I know we got some requests from our children, because I know I got some requests from mine. And some of those things, we are so caught up in trying to make sure we're going to be friends with our children that we're trying to get them. Therefore, we become in need, and we forget about being grounded in Jesus, because we're trying to make sure that our children are going to like us. They got to be a part of the crowd. They got to be in on what's going on now. Christmas is about the birth of Christ.
That's right. That's right.
And if we do not give them that lesson, we missed it. So when we talk about our attitude, we need to have the right frame of mind. In the verse, "I can do all things through him," let's not get it twisted. That doesn't mean that, okay, Lord, you're going to help me fly when I drop off of this roof, because I can do all things in Christ. Lord, I'm going to go into my job today, and I'm just going to sit on my behind because I don't feel like working. I know you got me, so because I can do all things in Christ, and I'm not going to get fired. I know that I'm going to go to this bank, and I'm going to ask for a $100,000 loan, even though I'm working a 9-10 hour job, and they're going to give it to me to buy this house, and I already got debt piled up. But you said, "I can do all things." What we need to understand, what Paul was talking about, "I can do all things through him who gives me strength in the will of God." We have to be in his will. We have to understand that if we are in the Word, and the Word is going to feed our souls, then we're going to do what the Word tells us to do. Paul talks about being content in whatever circumstances he is in. Paul's attitude remained constant, the same whether he had plenty or if he was in need. The source of the secret in the attitude of Paul's contentment is revealed in verse 13. That secret is Jesus. Without the strength of Jesus, Paul could do nothing. I personally love this verse, as I said earlier, because when I am weak in my thinking, in my feelings, in my emotions, I must look to the Lord. I must look to the hills which cover my help, because my help cometh from the Lord, Jesus. I don't know about you, but I need Jesus when I am in need. And when I have plenty, when things are pressing on me on the job, I need Jesus. I rejoice because, like Paul, Jesus keeps me. You can read about all of the tragedies and torments that Paul went through in 2 Corinthians 23 to 27. Paul endured so much trauma, tragedy, and torment. Just to name a few: floggings, beatings, stonings, shipwrecks, and imprisonment. Yet he learned to be content in every and all situations through the power of our King, which gives him peace. Paul rejoiced in knowing that he had Jesus, and Jesus is not only our rock, he is our source. I don't need nobody but the Lord.
That's right.
I love my husband dearly.
My Lord.
But Jesus delivers me. He gives me strength. My mother gave me life. She birthed me and she raised me. And she cannot love me like my Jesus. I have learned to be content in every situation. Jesus' almighty power has given me contentment. As I look in John 15:7, it says, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. We must be in God's will when we begin asking. His will is determined by the knowledge of his word. And you know, the people perish due to the lack of knowledge. As we look at the last of these verses, I'm going to Nehemiah 8:10.
All right.
This day
is
holy to our Lord.
That's right.
Do not grieve.
That's right.
For the joy of the Lord is your strength.
Yes.
Just give you some background on Nehemiah. Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the king.
That's right.
But he knew that he wanted to help the Israelites.
That's right.
So he went and he asked favor of the king.
That's right.
He was sent to Jerusalem to rebuild as an official, having the title of governor. The rebuilding of Jerusalem. When things get torn down, there needs to be some rebuilding. When things seem to be going awry, there needs to be some rebuilding. When things doesn't seem like they're going the way that they should be going, and we are unhappy, we are depressed, we are down and out, there needs to be some rebuilding. I know Pastor talked about a few weeks ago that we are work in progress. We are under construction. There needs to be some rebuilding. Nehemiah was a devout believer of God. He was faithful in praying and petitioning his request to God. Nehemiah prayed on behalf of the Israelites who were returning from exile from Babylon to Jerusalem. Nehemiah prayed to God, and favor was bestowed upon Nehemiah. When he went before the king to ask for supplies to rebuild the walls in Jerusalem, Nehemiah also received protection. Isn't it good how God works? He's going to answer your prayers when you are in his will. He will keep you. He will protect you. He will deliver you. He will take care of you. Just like Nehemiah, there was favor. Nehemiah also received protection from his enemies who tried to intimidate him from building up the walls in Jerusalem for the Israelites. The kings, Sabalot, Tobiah, and Geshem, tried to intimidate Nehemiah to keep him from rebuilding the walls. Again, Nehemiah went to God in prayer to be protected from his enemies. How many times have we not gone to the source? How many times have we not gone to the Lord to ask for what we needed? As believers, we must go to God in prayer to make our prayer requests known. We get our strength from God just like Nehemiah. We come into contact with bullies, attackers, intimidators, jealousy, envy, just like Nehemiah. Satan comes in many different forms. And Satan's primary job is to kill, steal, and what? Destroy. But God is the strength of our joy. The intimidations and the lies from the kings to Nehemiah, it didn't work. It was not in God's plan. The wall was built after several attempts by the kings to stop it. But 52 days later, the walls of Jerusalem were completed. And God found favor on Nehemiah. And the 43,000 Jews and their servants all went in to settle in Jerusalem. On the first day of the seventh month, after the Jews had settled into Jerusalem, Nehemiah brought all of the Israelites together to assemble them. And verse 10, this day is holy to our Lord. Again, I say, do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Why did Nehemiah mention do not grieve? Because this is a joyous time of celebration. Why is he saying do not grieve, do not be down? Well, Ezra, a scribe, was asked to read the book of the law of Moses. The people listened to this law. It was time to celebrate, but they were still in grieving mode. The celebration was a time to worship, prepare, and feast. As the book of the law of Moses was read out to all of the people, some began to reflect on the sin that took place during Moses' leadership, the grieving. They were feeling ashamed and not worthy. My Christians, brothers and sisters, we need to remember once we give our lives to Christ, we have been forgiven.
Amen.
Not spot or wrinkle.
Well.
No more tears of what I used to do, how I used to behave, what I used to do back in the day, because I am now a child of the King.
My God.
Jesus has forgiven you, and you are now his. Worshiping and praising God for now being in the family of Christ, we must rejoice. It is a time of rejoicing. Looking at Deuteronomy 16:11, and rejoice before the Lord your God at the place he will choose as a dwelling for his name. You, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, the Levites in your towns, and the foreigners, the fatherless and the widows living among you. This is our Christian duty to rejoice. Remember, we are where we are in our lives because Jesus is the strength of our joy. The joy that fills our hearts with gladness that does not diminish, but is constant. As I come to a close, I want to leave you with the joy the Lord rests in our hearts, which gives us peace. Rejoice in the Lord for who he is personally to you. All that he has done down through the years. You know, there used to be an old saying. I was like, well, I'm too young to be talking about down through the years. But just live a little while. Just live a little while and you're going to have some life experiences down through the years. When I didn't have the means to buy gifts for Christmas during the Christmas season, he was a keeper. Jesus is the gift to us.
Amen.
His birth is our gift as we await with joyously anticipation the second coming.
That's right.
Like Paul, as I look back over my life to reflect being abased and abound. He was a healer for my father. Through the long 3 months of his sickness, Jesus was faithful to his word. During the times of weakness, the joy of Jesus was our strength.
That's right.
First Baptist, I know there are many, many of you who have testimonies of how good God has been.
That's right.
I have learned to be content in any and every situation. I have made the deliberate choice to be in the will of God and to be grounded in his word during the times of need. In the times of abundance and of plenty, I have the joy of the Lord which strengthens me day by day. Even when I call out to him in the midnight hour, he will answer. I know that weeping only lasts for a night, but joy cometh in the morning.
Yes,
Lord. What kind of joy are we talking about?
My.
Well, I know that it is unspeakable joy comes in the morning.
Yes,
I know that it is powerful joy that comes in the morning. I know that it is loving joy that comes in the morning. I know that it is almighty joy that comes in the morning. I know that it is healing joy that comes in the morning. I know that it is is a king that we call the lily of the valley that comes in the morning. I know that he is my rock. I know that he is my anchor. And nothing can keep me from the love of God. It's nothing but joy. It's nothing but joy. Regardless of anything else, I'm going to rejoice. It is not a time for grieving. It is a time for celebration. As I think about joy and what does joy means to me, joy means that Jesus loves me. He died and rose for me. And I know that he is coming back again for his church without spot or wrinkle. And if you don't believe me, it says it in Ephesians 5:27. And when we go on to enjoy, it says obey his commandments. Because in Luke 10:27, love the Lord thy God. Love your neighbor as yourself. And I'm going to move on to joy. And why? Yes, I have learned to be content. And whatever state I am in. That is 4:11. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you today, I am here to celebrate on this third Sunday of Advent, of this rejoiceful day. I am here to celebrate. This is the day that the Lord has made. And because he has made this great day, I am here to rejoice. I am here to stand firm. I'm going to be grounded in his word. I'm going to keep moving in God's word. Nothing can stop me. Nothing can stop me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He is so good. Rejoice. 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 Thank you, God.
Stand to your feet. Come on, somebody. Y'all, she put it out there. Come on.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message.